was out there working in the heat the other day, and the preacher called me. And if it sounded like I was out of breath when I called you back, it's because I was. It's hot, amen. But he asked me to preach tonight, and he said, if the Lord allow you to preach on missions, and he said, if not, then preach where the Lord leads you. But amen, I'm glad that the Lord has laid this on my heart. And y'all pray for me. I was doing all right until I got on the road, turned out there on the main highway. It's like a big lump come up in my throat. Closer I got to the church, a little more nervous I got. And got up there where I could see cars turning in the parking lot. And I said, well, Lord, we're here. So y'all pray for me. Amen. See, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their I have a hard time with that word. Y'all just skip that one, all right? For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that they would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and in utterance, and knowledge, and all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty might be rich, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before me, not only to do, but also to be 40 years ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of the which ye have. For if there be a willing mind, it accepted and according to a man hath, and not according to he that hath not. Verse 13, for I mean not to other man be eased, and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that at this time your abundance may be a supply to their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that hath gathered little had no lack. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you, God, for calling men and women to go on the mission field. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight as we try to preach on missions here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the words to say. And Lord, I pray that I'd not say anything that I don't need to say. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I normally don't do this, but I'm going to shed this jacket. Amen. I don't guess it matters, does it? All right. Paul's writing his second letter to the church at Corinth. In chapter 8, he tells them he wants them to witness what's going on in the churches of Macedonia. They're in a deep poverty and they're under a great trial of affliction. But in spite of their circumstances, they're still giving. Not only to what they can, what's in their power to give, but beyond what's their power to give. But I want to look at verse 13, for I mean not that men be eased and ye be burdened, but an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance may also be a supply unto your want, that there may be equality. Paul's saying that those last two verses there are talking about the mission, the church and the missionary, the relationship between the church and the missionary. And he says there needs to be an equality. There needs to be a balance. We've got some that are at ease. We've got some that are heavily burdened. I want to ask you tonight, are you at ease or are you heavily burdened? Do we have a burden to go out and share the gospel, or do we ease in just our salvation alone? There needs to be a balance, but there needs to be an equality. Let's see. In 1972, Congress passed the Equal Employment Opportunity Act. I'm sure you've heard of it. And in this act, it simply means whether you're, regardless of your male, your female, regardless of your skin color, regardless of your religion, whatever it may be, that you have an opportunity to be employed by this employer. I'm glad that with God, He's an equal opportunity employer. Amen. It don't matter if you're a man, you're a woman. It don't matter what color you are. You can do something for God. Amen. Now I realize that there's some things that are different. I mean, I ain't saying a woman can preach or nothing like that, so don't take me out of context. But, amen. Women can still do something for God. Amen. Look at the life of Christ and all the women through His life that helped Him. And hey, all the women that were there for Him. Women have a great place in the work of God. Amen. They say behind every good man there's a good woman. I thank God for mine. Amen. She has to put up with me. I'll pray for her. But Paul said there needs to be an equality. Paul said there needs to be a balance. So I want to look at this. There's the responsibility to spread the gospel is equal. I got this brother's prayer card because I will be forgot his name, but Brother Steve Harper and his wife. And it says you're missionaries to the Americas, India, and the regions beyond. Do you know that it's not just their responsibility to share the gospel there? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, and it's on the back of their prayer card, says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost." At go ye. That's me and you. And we may not be able to go out and actually go on the mission field, but God, He makes it a way that we can have a part. And just what the man was talking about earlier, he said we've been supporting Him for all these years, and that's our part. I honestly believe all that's within me that every soul that He leads to the Lord, those that have given to make that possible, I believe it goes to our account. Amen. I believe it goes to our account. The responsibility is equal. We notice that He's given us a great responsibility. And I just believe that God's going to give us such a great responsibility, He's going to give us the resources to make it happen. Not only are the responsibilities equal, but the resources are equal. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the opportunity to go to God and get on our knees and shake the throne room and get a hold of God. Perhaps you've heard of Brother David Livingston. Great missionary to Africa back in the 1800s. When he went to Africa, he had upset some of the tribal people there. They didn't like him being there. And it said that one night, as Brother David was out in camp, that he had gotten word that some of the tribes were going to come out after him and kill him. And he had written a letter, and I had actually found the letter, but I left it, so anyway, I won't read the letter. But he had wrote a letter. And as the tribal people were enclosed, and he was talking about how they're gathering around him. But anyway, he said that nothing happened that night, so they left him alone. It wasn't too much longer after that he had the opportunity to meet that tribal leader. And he got to lead him to the Lord. So that man asked him, he said, "I heard that y'all were going to kill me." He said, "Yes, that's true. We was going to kill you that night." He said, "Well, why didn't you?" He said, "Well, when we got there, we had every intention of killing you." He said, "Well, but when we came up on your camp," he said, "I counted 47 soldiers with swords drawn." He said, "I've been wanting to ask you about them soldiers. Who were they?" Brother Livingston said, "They ain't got no soldiers." He said, "I have no idea what you're talking about." He said, "I'm telling you there was 47. So a few weeks later, maybe it may have been a few months, I don't know. He was back in Scotland and he was telling one of the supporting churches about this incident that had happened. And he was telling them everything that I just told you. After the service, a young man came running and said, "Brother Livingston, Brother Swift, I need to talk to you. Please stop." He said, "I've got a prayer journal here. Let me look. I forgot the date." He said, "January 14th, 1856. Well, that had happened to be in the night that you're talking about when they circled your camp. Brother Livingston thought about it for a minute. He said, "You know what?" He said, "That's the day." He said, "Well, brother, I got it recorded right here. I keep this in a prayer journal." He said, "That very night, there was 47 men from our church that gathered to pray for you and your safety." Amen. Hey, missionaries need our prayer. We better be doing our faithful part. When you take those cards, it's called a prayer card for a reason, okay? Don't use it to put your drinks on, amen. Tell you what I like to do with them. I like to put them on my refrigerator. And I like to go, because I mean, I'm a Baptist. I like to eat, amen. So I'm all the time going to my refrigerator. See, every time I open my refrigerator, there they are. And I tease some of my missionary buddies. I've got a lot of missionary friends. I tease them, tell them, I just blindly throw a dart, whoever it lands on, I pray for. I don't really do that. I'm kidding. Be praying for them, amen. Amen. So the resources are equal. So if the resources are equal, I believe that the rewards are also equal. Imagine Brother Livingston going before the judgment throne and the rewards that might be given to him, the crowns that he might receive. Imagine these other great men of God that have gone on before us that come judgment day, the rewards that they'll get. What kind of rewards will you and I get? But here's the thing that is exciting about it. It's not about where you go. You're not going to be judged on where you go. You're not going to be judged on how hard that task was. I believe with all that's within me that we'll be judged on faithfulness. Were you faithful to do what God called you to do, where He called you to do it? I believe when we get there, we're going to see little widow ladies that nobody thought would get these crowns. Man, the Lord's just giving her crowns, saying, "Thank you for being faithful, for praying for your pastor." Hey, it don't matter what you're doing. It don't matter where you're going, as long as you're doing it, doing what God called you to do. So if all these other things are equal, I believe the requirements should be equal. Pastor, I'm sure that we've got some requirements that when we support a missionary, they've got to meet these requirements for us to support them. Amen. Obviously, they need to be a Baptist. Amen. King James Bible. Amen. Amen. So we got some requirements that we hold them to, and rightfully so. Because there's some Fruit Loops out there. Amen. I work with some of them. Amen. I do. Lord help. Y'all pray for me. But the requirements. Let's look at some of the requirements. We require them to be faithful, do we not? I don't know about you, but a missionary that come in and told me he had a burden for the lost and a burden for some area that he was going to, wanting our financial support, he wasn't faithful to it. I don't believe that'd be a good investment. Amen. So if we're going to require of them to be faithful, if the requirements are equal, then we should be faithful. One of the requirements ought to be they ought to have some fire about them. And I understand there's different styles of preaching. I mean, I'm not one to really hoot and holler or nothing, but if the Lord gets on me and tells me to, I'll do it. Amen. He just ain't told me yet. Amen. And that I've got asthma, so y'all probably think I was charismatic, but I'm asthmatic, so. Amen. I'm glad we can laugh and have a good time, ain't you? They want to have some fire about them. I mean, if a missionary come up here and say, "I'm Brother so-and-so, I'm going over yonder to do this and do that. Just ain't real sure about it. I don't know that we'd really want to support them, would we? So if you want them fired up and you want them full of God, then we ourselves better get fired up and full of God. Amen. I believe one of the requirements is they want to be fruitful. Now, I'm not necessarily speaking to numbers. A missionary may go to the field, it takes several years before he leads one person to the Lord. And as far as we know, Brother David Livingston, there's only one record of a soul being saved under his ministry, and that was that tribal leader. That tribal leader, in return, was able to lead his tribe to the Lord. Amen. So don't, let's not look at the numbers. Amen. But I believe they ought to be trying to lead souls to the Lord. They ought to be fruitful. They ought to be putting out some fruit. Amen. Y'all know where I'm going. We ought to be as well. Who are we to say the missionary needs to be out knocking on more doors? How many doors have we knocked on? Who are we to say that, well, he needs to preach a little longer on Sundays? I seen him posting on Facebook, hey, that could be in a completely different time frame, and they've already been in service for a few hours. You just didn't know it. We need to check ourselves before we start pointing fingers at the missionary. Some of you may not agree, but one of the requirements is that they forfeit. I want them to give up some things. And more so for a missionary who's going through a third world country, there are some things that he's going to have to give up.
Yes, sir.
Yes. As a young child, I started hanging out around missionaries, and to be honest with you, some of my greatest friends are missionaries. Matter of fact, most of my friends are missionaries. And I always tried to be there for them. And there's one particular guy, I'm not going to say any names, but there's one particular gentleman. I was probably 15, 16, and he's in his mid-30s, and got a family. And he'd tell me, he said, Brother Max, why don't you call me on Friday nights? He said, I normally ain't nobody around about 10 o'clock. I really enjoy talking to you. If you don't mind, if you're not busy, call me around 10 o'clock on Fridays. He said, if I don't answer, then I'll call you back. If not, I'll talk to you next Friday. So I called this gentleman, and about every Friday for well over a year as I was on deputation. I knew time was getting closer and getting closer and getting closer for them to depart. And I called him, I guess it's probably a month before. I said, just want to check on you, brother. And he started crying. He said, Brother, man, I'm not complaining. He said, I'm not at all complaining. I'm not discouraged in what we're doing. He said, but can't talk to everybody else about this. He said, I know I can talk to you about it. He said, we had a yard sale today. He said, I had to sell some of my most prized guns. I'm a gun fanatic myself. I said, man, I couldn't imagine that. Amen. I had to sell some of my prized guns. I had to sell some things that we've accumulated over the years that meant something to us that we can't take with us. Had to get rid of them. And again, he wasn't complaining. Let's all be real. We're all human. And man, that could really tug on all of us if we all had to go through that. But he had to forfeit some things. Some of these missionaries that go on the foreign fields, they don't have the modern day conveniences that we do. They may not have the air conditioning. I went to Honduras 2 years ago, and now where we were at, and some of the areas we were at were, you couldn't really tell it's third world country around the San Pedro Sula. They got nicest mall I've ever seen in my life. But you get out a couple hours away from that. Dirt floors. Talking about just shacks. And those missionaries, imagine this. Imagine that missionary going and building just the most extravagant mansion that you ever saw in the middle of that poor village. Just think of what kind of reputation he's going to have around there. He's not going to be able to reach them folks living like that. Now, he ain't necessarily got to have the dirt floors and all. But he don't get to live as nice as what we get to live and the comforts we get to live in. Now, I want to take it a step further. There's sometimes that, and I know Liberty doesn't do this, but I've been around missionaries for a long time, and I've heard some horror stories. Amen. But you know, there's some folks that require them to give up things while they're here. Can't have a nice car. I mean, if you can afford to drive that, you don't need our support. Comments like that. When you go to the churches, they put you in some of the worst hotels, worst places you could. They wouldn't even put their own mother in, amen? There needs to be an equality. Hey, if we don't want to be treated like that, don't treat them like that, amen? And I'm going to say this and I'll be done. I know another missionary that they had suffered some hard times and they had to come off the field and they were trying to get back. And in the midst of all this, there's just one thing led to another. And one of them's dad said, hey, this is the missionary's dad said, hey, I want to take you and your family on a trip. So they went. Well-deserved trip, amen? They went. And one of the missionary's sons posted a couple pictures on his webpage. And one of the supporting pastors saw it. And without calling him and asking him for an explanation, and really it wasn't none of his business. I don't mean to be ugly, but it ain't none of his business. But rather than taking that way about it, he just dropped the support, called his mission board, got him in trouble with his mission board. The mission board dropped him. Just down here from there. That's a shame, man. Hey, their families, to be honest, I don't mean this ugly. Pastor, I don't mean this ugly. But a lot of these families do a whole lot more for God than we have ever thought about doing. And if anybody deserves a vacation, it's them. Amen? We expect them to buy their clothes from the Goodwill. We expect them to live just the poverty line. I mean, hey, we should be treating them like kings. Amen. And Pastor, I hope I'm not out of order on any of that. But there needs to be an equality. Verse 14. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Now, it said there that this abundance that we have, that's talking about the church and the missionary. So what is it that the church has an abundance of that the missionary needs? We may not like to admit it, but it's finances. When the missionary comes, he'll stand up here and he'll talk about how, you know, all the great things that are going on and we need your prayer, but they really need our finances too. They need our prayers, but hey, it takes money to do things. I'm sure you all know that. I mean, he can't go out and just start these colleges and things that he's talking about with no money. It's going to take money. So what does the missionary have? It says also at the latter part, it says that their abundance may also be a supply for your want, for the church's want. So what do they have abundance of that the church doesn't? And I know there's some great things happening at Liberty, but he just told us about all the souls that have been saved. He just told us how God's a moving. He's got fruit. And as I've said, I believe every dime we give, every person that is a part of giving, it goes on your account. He's got fruit. Now, I'm not setting any of this to beat anybody up. I'm not setting any of this to try to knock anybody in the head, but maybe you're new at Liberty and maybe you're just not sure about this missionary business. Maybe you've been here a while and you just ain't sure about this missionary business. It is a Bible command that we go out and spread the gospel. Amen. And I just believe that God's going to reward those who are faithful to do it. Now, we may not can go. And if you ever get a chance, an opportunity to go on the mission field, go. It'll change your life. But if you're not able to, and I'm not asking you to, you know, give everything you know. If God tells you to give everything you got, give everything you got. Now, I'm a little different than some folks. I've been in several missions conferences, and man, it's almost like it's a game or a rally to see who can outgive who. I mean, but use some common sense in it. Give what God lays on your heart. If God lays it on your heart to give $5, and you give $5, and God gives it on the heart to the person next to you to give $5,000, and they give $5,000, your reward is just as equal because you're being faithful to what God's told you to do. So give what God tells you to give. Be faithful, do your part. Pastor, that's all I've got.